Barb Magella, and you're listening to Strange Brew, with unusual facts, random information, and trivia from Mental Floss Online, and far-fetched, not-at-all factual news stories from The Onion Online. These readings may be irreverent and could, on occasion, contain language and content that some might find offensive. I hope you'll enjoy the program. Tonight, let's start with a story from mentalfloss.com. Animals. Las Vegas is being invaded by grasshoppers. By Michelle Debchek. July 2019. A grasshopper swarm of biblical proportions has descended upon Las Vegas, CNN reports. The invasion is expected to last weeks, and it's so dense that it has even appeared on weather radar. The cloud of flying insects is practically indistinguishable from a rainstorm on weather maps. After tracking it for a while, experts noticed that it didn't move like normal rain patterns, and it didn't match up with what meteorologists were reporting from the ground. The mysterious mass that had settled over Las Vegas had to be caused by something else. On July 27th, the city's National Weather Service office tweeted, "Some of you have been asking about the widespread radar returns the past few nights in hashtag Vegas. Radar analysis suggests most of these echoes are biological targets. This typically includes birds, bats, and bugs, and most likely in our case, grasshoppers. It may look like a plague, but the swarm is actually the result of an extra rainy year. Las Vegas has seen 4.63 inches of rain since the start of 2019, compared to the 2.38 inches it usually gets by this time of year. More rain means more pallid-winged grasshoppers, and as they migrate north to central Nevada over the next few weeks, they'll be impossible for locals to ignore. Videos show the bugs blanketing doors and buzzing beneath streetlights. Grasshoppers are attracted to light, especially bright white light, so the Las Vegas Strip has seen some of the worst of the invasion. You can check out footage of the swarm on the Mental Floss website. From mentalfloss.com, history. A rediscovered erotic poem might indicate the Middle Ages were sexier than we thought. By Jake Rossin, July 2019. In a find that has medieval scholars slightly hot under the collar, a poem believed to have been written in the 15th century was just discovered to have been composed at least 200 years earlier. Detailing a woman's conversation with her vulva, it represents a shift in how and when sexuality was expressed in the art of the Middle Ages. Christine Glasner of the Institute for Medieval Research at the Austrian Academy of Sciences found the poem while combing through texts at the Melk Abbey Library in Austria. Initially, she was unable to identify the thin parchment, roughly half an inch wide and less than 9 inches long, that had been reused to bind text. Parchment was often recycled this way, and represented only a fraction of the work. With the help of colleagues, she was able to recognize it as the Rosendorn, the Rose Thorn, a poem previously believed to have origins in the 15th century. It tells the story of a virgin who communicates directly with her vulva and debates which of the two is more appreciated by men. The woman believes her overall beauty is what draws interest. The vulva posits that only a portion of her body is what attracts men. The two sentient beings decide to part ways before realizing they're best suited as a pair. Such risque writing was not thought to have surfaced in the German-speaking world until the end of the Middle Ages, but Glasner's discovery dates to 1300 CE, moving up the expression of sexuality by as much as 200 years. Glasner called the text incredibly clever, and a wry commentary on how a person cannot be separated from their sex. With the discovery, scholars will seek to recontextualize how sexuality was expressed during a period when it was believed to have been largely kept private. The fragment is now on display at Melk Abbey. From MentalFloss.com, Food, 5 Rules for the Paleo Diet from Actual Paleolithic Humans by Sarah Lohman, July 2019. The Paleo Diet, also known as the Hunter-Gatherer Diet or the Stone Age Diet, recommends eating lean meats, fish, fruits, vegetables, and nuts, foods available to our Paleolithic era ancestors, for optimum health in the modern era. The regimen excludes grains and dairy products, since paleo enthusiasts believe those foods emerged in the human diet less than 12,000 years ago, after the advent of agriculture. But the Paleolithic era began at least 2.5 million years ago, and human diets have altered over that time. Just in the past decade, our impression of what ancient humans ate has changed drastically. If you're seeking diet advice from some actual paleo humans, try these 5 rules based on recent archaeological findings that have revolutionized our understanding of the real paleo diet. 1. Scavenge your meat. Our first tip takes us to Ethiopia, the cradle of humanity. In 2009, paleoanthropologists there found 3.4 million-year-old animal bones with cut marks from stone tools that indicated butchering. The marks were particularly significant because they suggested that the Paleolithic era, or Old Stone Age, when early human ancestors created and used stone tools, began 800,000 years earlier than previously thought. The animal bones were so old that the beings using the tools weren't even human. They were early hominins, probably Australopithecus afarensis. Previously, stone tool use was attributed only to our genus, Homo, which emerged about 2.5 million years ago. The 2 animal bones came from an impala-sized creature, the other from one closer in size to a buffalo, researchers reported in Nature. They concluded that our early ancestors didn't hunt the game. They scavenged it by butchering the meat from an existing carcass, likely the prey of another large predator. Scavenging is an important step in human evolution that differentiated hominins from apes. Chimpanzees do not recognize large animals or carcasses killed by other animals as food, Paleolithic archaeologist David Braun told Nature at the time. At some point, hominins did. 2. Cook your food over an open fire. A 300,000-year-old hearth in Israel, reported in the Journal of Archaeological Science in 2014, is the earliest physical evidence of humans consistently building fire over a period of time. The hearth demonstrates that humans controlled fire for their daily needs, which also suggests that the people had a social structure and increased intellectual capacity. Stone tools for butchering and charred animal bones found nearby indicate that the people were cooking meat. But our cooking skills may go back even further. A deposit of 1-million-year-old ash was found in South Africa's Wonderwork Cave. Anthropologist Richard Wrangham has proposed a theory, the cooking theory, that suggests learning to cook our food promoted the development of brains that are massive compared to those of other primates. By unlocking nutrients and reducing the time we had to spend chewing, cooking allowed hominins to spend time learning other skills. For this theory to correlate with our known evolutionary path, humans would have had to be cooking with fire about 2 million years ago. 3. Eat your starches and veggies. The paleo diet and other low-carb diets are famously meat-heavy. That MO reflected the prevailing theory that early humans, particularly Neanderthals, ate meat almost exclusively. But our understanding of paleo-human dining changed in 2014 after the discovery of some fossilized human poop in southern Spain, reported in the journal PLOS One. The 50,000-year-old coprolite is the oldest known human feces. Chemical analysis revealed that the donor did eat meat, but also ate his or her share of vegetables. Evidence of plant consumption has also been found on Neanderthal tools and even in their calcified dental plaque. In 2017, Australian researchers analyzed dental calculus dating to 50,000 years ago and turned up a variety of carbohydrates and starch granules from plants, but very few lipids or proteins from meat. Neanderthals seemed to be broadly omnivorous and in some areas primarily plant eaters. 4. Go ahead, gorge on grains. The modern paleo diet forbids all grains, arguing that grain production was a result of the development of agriculture about 12,000 years ago and came after the optimal Paleolithic period. The no-grain rule, however, doesn't reflect the diet of actual paleo humans. In another site in Israel, Ohalo II on the Sea of Galilee, occupied about 20,000 years ago, researchers found uncultivated wheat and barley alongside an oven-like hearth. The wild grains were harvested with flint blades, processed, and baked. Additionally, analysis of 40,000-year-old dental plaque obtained from human teeth found in Iraq and Belgium indicated the presence of cooked grains. Both of these discoveries predate the development of agriculture by tens of thousands of years, showing humans living in different places were consuming grains, and perhaps some version of bread, during the Paleolithic era. 5. Eat sweets sparingly. Paleo-humans liked the sweet stuff when they could get it, including wild treats like dates and honey. How do we know? Then, as now, one of the effects of sugar in one's diet is the appearance of tooth cavities. In 2015, Italian researchers found the oldest known evidence of dental work in a 14,000-year-old molar, which showed markings from sharp tools used to dig out rotten tissue. 2 years later, the same team of scientists discovered the oldest known filling, dating back roughly 13,000 years. An incisor showed a cavity that had been drilled and plugged with bitumen, a semi-solid form of petroleum. Cavities were not thought to be a major part of human experience until after the advent of agriculture, but these paleo chompers suggest otherwise. From MentalFloss.com, Health. Want to reduce your stress in 10 minutes? Pet a cat or dog. By Ellen Gutowski. July 2019. If you know a college student or are one yourself, you might be familiar with the programs that allow students to pet dogs or cats for a few hours, usually during finals season. The hope is that spending a little time with a cuddly creature will take students' minds off their exams and lower their stress levels. The rising popularity of emotional support animals would seem to uphold that idea. There hasn't been much data on the petting session's effectiveness until now. In a study recently published in the journal Era Open, Patricia Pendry and Jamie Vandegrift of Washington State University found that students who pet the animals in one of these animal visitation programs had lower salivary cortisol levels than those who didn't. Cortisol is the body's main stress hormone. In their experiment, the researchers split 249 college students into four groups. The first group played with shelter cats and dogs for 10 minutes. The second group stood in line watching the first group hang out with the animals but never got to do it themselves. The third group was shown images of the animals, and the fourth group was told they were on a wait list to see the animals, but never actually saw them. Each of the students submitted three saliva samples, one when they woke up, one 15 minutes after the 10-minute experiment, and a third 25 minutes after the experiment. The researchers found that the group of students who got to pet the animals had noticeably lower cortisol levels than the other groups after controlling for other variables like what their cortisol level had been that morning, how long they had been awake, or differences in their circadian rhythms. Since it's only one study with a relatively small sample size of students from one university, it's not enough to suggest that every anxiety-ridden student can be helped by petting a pup, but it complements other well-documented benefits of owning a dog or cat and might be a good thing to try whenever you're feeling a little stress. And now let's move on to some outrageous and totally bogus news from TheOnion.com. Chuck Grassley accidentally lies in state for a few hours after drifting off in Capitol Rotunda. July 29, 2019, Washington. Surrounded by onlookers, former colleagues, and Supreme Court justices paying respect to the slumbering U.S. Senator, Chuck Grassley, Republican, Iowa, accidentally lay in state for a few hours Monday after drifting off in the Capitol Rotunda. "Today we honor a giant of the United States Senate, a devoted father, and a dear personal friend for his great service to this country," said a tearful majority whip John Cornyn in a stirring retrospective about the sleeping Iowa Republican, whose quietly dozing body had been mistakenly draped in a U.S. flag for public viewing just hours after the exhausted 85-year-old senator reportedly yawned and stretched out on the floor for a cat nap beneath a frieze of George Washington. "We may salute him today with a procession. We may lower the flag as he lies in repose, but we will never forget what he has sacrificed for our nation. Rest in peace, my friend." Several hours after the ceremony ended, a dazed Grassley snapped awake in the darkened chamber, pulled several pieces of regalia off himself, and stumbled away in confusion while a member of the Capitol Police wasn't looking. From TheOnion.com, news in brief. EPA administrator proves carbon emissions not harmful by inhaling directly from truck's tailpipe. August 2, 2019, Washington. During a press conference held in a D.C. parking lot, Environmental Protection Agency head Andrew Wheeler went out of his way Friday to show carbon emissions were safe by putting his mouth over the exhaust pipe of an idling Jeep Grand Cherokee and taking several deep breaths. "Despite all the fear-mongering on behalf of politically motivated scientists, carbon emissions are not harmful in any way, as you can see," said a coughing, unsteady Wheeler moments before he was seen vomiting, losing his balance, and collapsing onto the pavement. "They pose no threat at all to the American public, and any hysterical claims to the contrary have no basis in reality. Sure, it does burn the lungs a little, but it doesn't cause any serious harm to internal organs. Look, I'll even take another puff. Oh God, someone help me." At press time, local authorities had confirmed Wheeler's death. From TheOnion.com, news in brief. Hobbs and Shaw pulled from theaters following reports of on-set mistreatment of cars. August 2, 2019, Hollywood. In response to public outcry by motor vehicle associations, theaters across the country pulled the film Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw Friday, following reports of the on-set mistreatment of cars. "We could no longer, in good conscience, continue distributing this film after watching secret video footage which showed the production company inflicting cruel physical punishment on dozens of cars, breaking windows, smashing headlights, and repeatedly slamming the poor vehicles against walls," said Universal Pictures President Jimmy Horowitz, promising that the studio would not tolerate the vicious abuse endured by the Corvettes, Mustangs, and Broncos prominently featured throughout the movie. Learning that these beautiful cars were subjected to such inhumane working conditions made me sick to my stomach. This cannot stand. Audiences deserve a fun action movie, not the reckless endangerment of innocent vehicles, many of which were less than a year old. Unfortunately, there's evidence that many of the actors were very rough with these cars, forcing them off cliffs and ramming them with trucks. I'll never forget the sight of a battered Aston Martin with a busted axle that they just abandoned in the middle of nowhere. At press time, the film's director, David Leith, denied accusations that the production cruelly kept cars locked inside hot, dark spaces with poor ventilation and little room to move. From TheOnion.com, news in brief. Man likes ex-girlfriend's tweet in effort to smooth over emotionally destroying her 3 years ago. August 1, 2019, Lansing, Michigan. Expressing relief that he could finally make amends for his past cruelty, area man Tom Hernandez reportedly liked his ex-girlfriend's tweet Thursday in an effort to smooth over emotionally destroying her 3 years ago. I was kind of an asshole during the breakup, but I'm hopeful that by liking the photo she tweeted of her new kitten, I can show her I'm sorry for leaving her devastated and completely unable to trust other people, said Hernandez, 27, self-assured that the olive branch he was extending via a Twitter like would show his ex how bad he felt about systematically chipping away at her mental health over several months, leaving her so emotionally shattered that she had only recently regained the confidence to date again. When she opens her notifications and sees my face, it's gonna make her day. Perhaps I'll even reply with a funny gif to let her know I'm ready to put the terrible things I did to her behind us and move on. Obviously, the ball is in her court, but I'd love to be at a point where I can mistreat her as friends. At press time, Hernandez was outlining his plan to randomly text his ex-girlfriend a waving hand emoji every 6 months into perpetuity. From TheOnion.com, news in brief. Woman who doesn't want to be hit on shouldn't be hanging out in bar taking drink orders. July 30th, 2019, Tempe, Arizona. Yucca Tap Room patron Danny Foster told sources Tuesday that if Tempe resident Destiny Harris had no desire to field romantic overtures from inebriated male customers, she should not be hanging out in the bar taking drink orders. She's just going from table to table, mingling with all the customers, asking every man here what he would like to drink, and charging them on behalf of the establishment, said Foster, noting that it seemed odd of Harris to repeatedly return to Foster's table and ask his party what they wanted to drink if she wasn't looking to meet someone. She brought that table over there a whole round of shots, and she keeps chatting them up about appetizers, which, to be honest, is rather forward of her. What does she expect to happen if she hangs out alone in a place like this for 6 hours at a time wearing that little apron? It just sends the wrong message. At press time, Foster said that if the woman wasn't trying to hook up, she shouldn't hand out little bowls of pretzels to everyone. From TheOnion.com, news in brief. 4-year-old convinced father a moron after 45th consecutive hide-and-seek victory. July 26, 2019, Glendale, Pennsylvania. Expressing embarrassment and disappointment over being the son of such a loser, local 4-year-old Connor Hayward was convinced Friday that his father, Craig, was a moron after losing 45 consecutive games of hide-and-seek. "Christ, this is bad. I've hid behind that bush a dozen times, and this dumbass still can't find me," said Connor, confessing that after finding his father crouched behind a chair half his size, he had started to worry he might grow up to be a complete imbecile, just like his dad. "At first I thought I might be really good at this game, but after about an hour hiding underneath a hamper with visible holes, I realized he's completely out to lunch. It'd be one thing if he was only bad at seeking, but so far his best hiding spot was behind the back door. Who hides behind a door? There's no strategy to it whatsoever. One time I went out to find him, and he was just standing behind a kitchen stool. He wasn't even crouched behind it or anything. At press time, a visibly frustrated Connor emerged from his hiding spot to help his father search for his 2-year-old brother. From TheOnion.com, news in brief. More presidential candidates taking strident pro-caviar stance to appeal to Democratic socialite wing of party. July 30, 2019, Washington. Doubling down on new policy in an effort to cater to the most influential segment of their base, an increasing number of 2020 presidential contenders were pushing strongly pro-caviar positions Tuesday in an effort to appeal to the Democratic socialite wing of the party. Today, too many Americans are forced to choose between beluga caviar, steak tartare, and truffle-infused risotto cakes when a full selection of émousse bouche should be guaranteed to all, said White House hopeful Kirsten Gillibrand, who, like most candidates, has pledged to fight aggressively for top-shelf canapés and aperitifs in an effort to court the jet-setting bon vivre faction of the Democratic electorate. We live in the wealthiest country in the history of the world, and it's outrageous that our richest cognacs or fullest-bodied Zinfandels still do not reflect that. We can't make do with the same tired old cheese plates and bacon-wrapped dates Washington has offered us time and time again. We need bold, fresh-tasting menus if we're going to save our nation's struggling galas. Gillibrand has joined fellow candidates Beto O'Rourke, Cory Booker, and Kamala Harris in promising that, if elected, she would fight to remove unnecessary restrictions on top-shelf pours at the open bar. From TheOnion.com, news in brief. Researchers confirm meditation can reduce stress, but totally get it if you were just venting and don't actually want advice. July 30, 2019, Seattle. Announcing the conclusion of their landmark study, researchers from the University of Washington confirmed Tuesday that meditation can significantly reduce stress, but added that they totally get it if you were just venting and weren't actually looking for advice right now. Based on a 6-month double-blind study, we can state with a high degree of confidence that regular meditation can help reduce epinephrine and lead to decreased blood pressure, heart rate, and metabolism. But we're not meaning to push that on you if you just needed to blow off some steam about how much you've got going on recently, said lead researcher Emily Kurtz, noting that while entering a state of advanced relaxation has been shown to decrease the flow of cortisol and improve cardiovascular health, she and her fellow researchers weren't trying to fix you or anything and understood if you just needed a sympathetic ear. Our findings also suggest that the focused attention, deep breathing, and calm thoughts associated with meditation may even reduce the occurrence of ailments including asthma, chronic pain, and some forms of cancer. But again, maybe you're just feeling frustrated and aren't looking for a laundry list of self-improvement techniques, so we just wanted to mention our conclusions, and we'll leave it there. Kurtz added that their research had also uncovered significant health risks associated with a sedentary lifestyle, but they could wait to talk about that until you were in a better mood. And that's all we have time for tonight. You've been listening to Strange Brew, with stories from July 2019, mentalfloss.com, and July and August 2019, theonion.com. I hope you enjoyed the program, and you'll tune in again next Friday for more Strange Brew. Until then, this is Barb Magella wishing you a good evening and a great week.